Introducing
Pretty Girls Love Real Estate. Stories of everyday women breaking barriers and building wealth through real estate.
Let's get it.
Boss. B-O-S-S.
Hello, hello. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Pretty Girls Love Real Estate podcast. This is a special episode. As you can see, my background's a little bit different. I am broadcasting to you from my hometown in Washington, D.C., and I'm super excited because I have an extra special guest today. Her name is Garland Fuller, and she is a senior diversity recruiter for CBRE, which is one of the most prominent commercial real estate firms in the world. She's based in the LA area, so I'm excited to talk to her about all the different diversity initiatives that are going on in the world of commercial real estate right now. So Garland, thank you. Thank you so much for joining me. How are you?
I'm doing so well. Thank you so much for having me. I am excited to be here today.
Yes, I'm excited to have you. And Garland also has her own podcast, Full Circle with Garland Fuller. So I want to talk to her about that. Always good to have a fellow podcaster on the show. All right. So first and foremost, though, how did you get interested in real estate in the first place?
It wasn't, of course, by design. I essentially happenstance started in real estate, and actually started on the residential side. When I relocated to South Florida, I got a real estate license because that was the thing to do. When I got my real estate license, I started working with an agency and realized like how much it really is, you know, you just sign up with an agency and no one really trains you on how to do it. Like They just say, here you go, farm an area, hit up your friends and family, and like, you're just going to be on your way and do that for as long as you need to do that in order to be successful. I just thought there's got to be a better mousetrap to do this. And at the time, I'd say recently new to the area, and there is an organization called Zip Realty, which was, I guess, the Redfin before the Redfin, right? It was a company out of Emeryville, California. I went to UC Berkeley, and the founder of this company also went to UC Berkeley. So he was looking to launch in the South Florida market. I interviewed for this role of doing staffing management for this company. Keep in mind, up to then, my background had always been in HR and recruiting. So it was like a perfect fit of my HR background and my real estate kind of entry. And the beauty of this system, it was residential technology app. Because I think before, the MLS was very much of only the brokers and the real estate agents had it. At that point, they hadn't started to democratize the MLS in terms of anyone being able to search and be able to look for properties on their own. And so that was kind of the entryway of, I feel like, real estate becoming more accessible to people. And the beauty of that firm, I'd say, was that it was a startup environment. So the beauty of startup environments is you got to hit the ground running fast. There's no rhyme or reason, just get it done. And because it was a quick ramp up, I mean, I think I hired 100 agents in like 6 months, something crazy.
Wow.
And it was fun because I got a chance to learn as I build the car, right? This whole like learning how to do something while you're doing it. And it was great because I realized how dynamic real estate was at the time. This was way before 2008. And so it was still, South Florida as a market was still very much, you know, blossoming, lots of, you know, new developments and things like that. And so it was an opportunity, I think, to blend those two skills. And I did do some, you know, investing at the time. I'd owned a home over there. So real estate started to become like this, oh, wow, this is like a whole other vehicle that I didn't know existed.
And like you said, before that time, and especially going into 2008, like things started really getting like the Wild West. So I'm sure there's a lot of moving parts, especially in the HR, the world of things.
Yeah.
So how did you get over from residential to transition to commercial real estate?
Yeah, so that was another happenstance. I think because I had residential and sales on my resume, they thought, okay, so you've dealt with sales professionals. Because sales professionals are, especially commission-based ones, they're a wild bunch. Like, they wake up every day at zero and have to make things happen. And so you have to understand that about sales professionals, that they are not going to sometimes be, you know, the quiet, like, oh, you know, they are typically the type A's, highly competitive, highly driven. They are not folks who are gonna, they find a way when there's no way. Let's just say that. There's no is not an answer. Like, no just means not today. It doesn't mean not ever. And I think if you understand that about salespeople, you learn not to take a lot of the stuff they do personally. You understand that's just part of their DNA in order to be successful, is that they have to kind of be like that. And so you have to learn how to work in the gray, be okay with ambiguity, and look at business opportunities for exactly that. Like, what is the opportunity here? Because oftentimes it's not a cyclical thing, like, oh, we know we're gonna do X amount of business this year. There may be certain contracted business that we will do, but a lot of it is opportunities and your ability to show up and get them. And so I think what they saw on my resume at the time was, oh, she's worked with salespeople, so she understands sales folks. And then I had prior also worked in law firms. And that's another group that's very opportunistic, let's just say that. and there's kind of a pecking order within the law firm environment. And so understanding corporate and how corporate entities work. And so I ended up, you know, working, not really knowing the full breadth of commercial real estate. I literally learned a lot of it, I'd say, in the first 6 months, like, what is a construction project manager? What do they exactly do? How third-party property management differs on the, you know, commercial side versus the residential. So a lot of it was just like going and talking to the folks who hired those people. I remember going on a building tour of a, you know, high-rise building, and them literally just showing me the bones of the place, like what's happening on the roof, what's happening in the engine rooms of a lot of these buildings, because there's floors where it's just generators and lots of mechanical engineering, plumbing, electrical that you don't see. You just walk into the building and you see these fantastic, you know, marble and glass. And when you kind of go back behind the scenes, you realize all the stuff that's involved in making these buildings work, which was super fascinating to me, because I didn't realize it's like running a small city when you run a Class A high-rise building. Right. And so it was really a lot of getting to know, you know, what is this industry about, and realizing how it touched every aspect of a local city. Not just the buildings, but how it interacts with city government, how it interacts with, you know, various metros, along with the businesses that, you know, make up an area. Like, it's this ecosystem that everyone needs everyone and relies on the connection in order for us to provide these services and these products of, you know, packaging various things to clients. It's fascinating.
Yeah, it's definitely way more intricate and complex than residential, which makes it that much more interesting. So, like, you're a recruiter in this space. So for somebody maybe coming out of college or somebody looking to transition careers to the commercial real estate world, what are some of the skills or different things that you look for in a person that you're trying to recruit in that, in a particular role?
Great, great question. So I always say that you have to be a self-starter. This is like a do-it-yourself industry. There will be orientation. People will show you where, you know, where to find the files. They'll give you a laptop, all of that. But this is not an industry for the quiet, you know, wallflower or the person who's kind of going to wait for somebody to give them something to do. You've mm-hmm. got to be a self-starter. So that's like a number one quality I'd say I look for. Two is someone who is interested in learning and asking questions and just, you know, curious. I think you got to like want to know what you're doing. You can't just mm-hmm. show up and think, oh, I'm just going to show up, do this thing, and then go home and like, you know, not think about it until I show back up. I feel like your ability to jumpstart and kickstart your career is you diving in and asking questions and looking at, you know, reports and making, you know, going to the intranet and literally, you know, reading in there. And then if there's a term you don't know, pop that term into a search box. And if you're not prepared to, I'd say, do that, which, I mean, that sounds to me like, you know, using the research skills that you learned in school, but now you're just applying it to, you know, your work environment. That is, I think, a big part of getting started. I also say networking, because this is a network heavy, network rich industry. The what you know is important, but I think sometimes the who you know is more important, because as I was saying, this is this ecosystem where everyone's kind of playing a part. And so your ability to understand the ecosystem and who the players are and what they do and why they do what they do and how this group interacts with this group will help you to, I'd say, make sense of where you fit in. It's not just the people who I see are successful, know their part in it, but also can step back and see how it all comes together. Mm-hmm. Because if you want to add value out the gate and be really kind of an outstanding person that people are looking at and saying, oh, wow, so-and-so's like, you know, they're on it. They're bringing me things. They're telling me things. They've got their ear into the mix of what's happening with either an asset class or a sub-market or, you know, a particular product type or whatever it is. And the only way you become an expert and just become very knowledgeable is by diving in and learning how to do it. So I'd say being a networked person also means, you know, kind of getting out of your comfort zone. This is an industry where majority of the folks are not, you know, Black and brown. And if that is a new environment for you and you haven't, you know, kind of been in all white environments, that feels kind of like, you know, maybe a little bit jarring. Find other organizations to support you. So there's lots of organizations. We'll talk a little bit about some of those later, but to find a mentor, to find a peer, to find somebody who, you know, when you're like, I think this is what I'm supposed to be doing. or would you like to come to this networking event with me so that you're not totally there by yourself? I mean, those are the things that I think are important when you start out.
Yeah, it's definitely a lifestyle. It's not like a 9-to-5. Once you clock out, you're, you know, kind of doing your own thing. It's, you're always on wherever you go, whoever you talk to, you're representing yourself. So definitely, definitely. And I'm glad you mentioned about a lack of Black and brown people in the industry, because that segues to the next question. Obviously, this year with the pandemic and the George Floyd situation, Breonna Taylor, like the national conversation has really shifted to diversity and inclusion. And commercial real estate is one of those industries that has traditionally just been very, very non-mixed as far as culture goes. So what are some of the things that you're seeing now that maybe your company is doing or other organizations that are prominent in the commercial real estate space that are doing to now really kind of champion that diversity in the industry?
That's a good question. So I've been in this space for about 7 years, and I can say in the past 8 months, I've had more conversations about racial inequality, race in general, gender and race and how those intersect. I'd say what has been, I'd say the increased awareness and sense of urgency. I would say that has been something that I have noticed in the past few months, because before I would try to, engage in these conversations, and I mean, I always did before, but the reception that you get, kind of, you read the room and get a sense of how comfortable someone is talking about these things, or just their even awareness of some of the things you may be talking to them about. Whereas before, I'd say it, and you have a few people who get it. There always have been ambassadors and champions in the space, so I don't want to make it sound like they've just emerged recently. If anything, they're the folks who've been here, who know about it, have been here. But I'd say some of my white colleagues that I know were not really wanting to, go here at all, are starting to ask questions and becoming more involved in employee network groups and wanting to know what they can do. Within CBRE, we've had, town halls. We've also had courageous conversations, with our employee network groups via Zoom in a virtual capacity, because people, I think, had a itch to have these conversations because you couldn't avoid having it. Anyone who saw that video, anyone who has, I'd say, been awakened or reawakened to what's happening in this country, you couldn't not know. And so I think there's been a sense of urgency across the industry to make diversity not just a nice to have, but a must have. Like, you have to have it in order to be considered the future workplace, an employer of choice. Like, if you're not thinking about it, you're essentially excluding a whole population, not only of people, but of business, because the business is changing. So our clients are changing. When you've got, Disney out there, with Black Panther, there's like lots of organizations that made DE&I a critical part of their values. And so if you're gonna represent them in a transaction or do anything for them, they are showing up, asking the hard questions, looking at who's at the table. Those are things that are, I think, they were happening before, but I think this whole reemergence has made it even more of a critical, like, we gotta make this important. Here in California, we have, women need to be on the board. And I think just recently they passed something and said that a person of color needs to be on the board. NASDAQ recently came out and says they're considering, if you don't have diversity on your board, that, they may not be listing you. So Right. There's lots of, I'd say, market pressure in addition to, companies looking at themselves. And I think for that, it has been an opportunity for us. And I know someone's going to say, why does it take stuff like this to happen? And I don't question the whys anymore. I'm just trying to get results. And so at this point, it's an opportunity for us to show up in the spaces that we're in. This is why my podcast is something I just was like, I got to get out this year, because we've always been in the space. It's not new. I think it's just certain groups weren't given the same level of visibility. And I think that is changing.
Right. So let's talk about this podcast, because we kind of aligned like the same kind of issue. Like, I listened to a lot of real estate podcasts before on the residential and commercial side. And I just noticed that there was never any representation by women of color. So I was like, okay, let me be the change I want to see in the world. And that's kind of similar to what you're saying. So, what made you want to start it? And then how's that experience going so far with the podcast?
Yeah. So having worked in the industry for the past 7 years, I've had the unique opportunity to be behind the scenes in terms of not only hiring people, but once they become a part of the organization, working with them. And I think commercial real estate is one of these invisible professions where, unlike doctors or lawyers or engineers, you may not know anybody who does commercial real estate, because it's not a, particularly in communities of color, we know when we think of real estate, we think of residential. And so what I was hoping to achieve with this podcast is to demonstrate not only that we're here and we've been in this industry, but I call them kind of like my pioneers or hidden figures or people who are doing things in this space who you wouldn't necessarily even, you know are there. I find that because we collectively, Black and Brown people, make up less than 10% of leaders in this industry, there's pockets of us in different places. Like we have various organizations we're a part of or parts of the country that we're in, but you will collectively think, oh, we're not a big group. And compared to our white counterparts, we don't make up a huge amount. However, what I've noticed is when we are there, we are there. Like there's lots of us. We are outstanding. And we are not only just doing good work, we're doing a lot of social and community impact work. Because I think we are the folks that when we show up, we don't show up by ourselves. We show up representing, you know, people who look like us, people who come from our backgrounds. And we have, I think, a different lens on how we see real estate, not only as a wealth building, you know, vehicle, but also an opportunity to make change. And I want to tell those stories and change that narrative and give that narrative some light and some celebration, because I think, you know, you can't say we're not here, or you can't say, you know, you don't know what we're doing in the space. And I want people to realize, in terms of the next generation, you can do this. Like, you see these folks doing this? You can do this. If you want to get into this, if you want this to be, you know, not only, you know, I believe in the multifamily investing, and that I think is huge, but no, there's a whole career path here. You can take some of your same skills and, you know, apply it into this industry if you want to. And as you were saying, you know, it not being a 9-to-5, it being a lifestyle, and you can, don't clock in and out. Like, I think that is so true. Once you're in this space and you meet all the people, you realize this is like, everybody's interested, everybody's into it. And so you don't turn it off, and it becomes a part of how you see the world, how you, you know, show up, what you want to do. And I, my hope is that we can continue, you know, because I've listened to your podcast too, you know, bringing women into this space, because, you know, we aren't necessarily sometimes there either, but I think what we have to contribute and how we, you know, show up is also very valuable.
Absolutely. And another demographic that I'm passionate about kind of exposing to the world of commercial real estate is the youth. Because I know, you know, I've just really dived deep into real estate over the past 3 or 4 years, and I've already like fascinated by it. And so it's something, if I would have known about this like middle school or high school age, who knows, you know, what type of trajectory I would have been on at this point. So one organization that we're both part of is called Urban Plan. Well, it's through the Urban Land Institute, but it's a program called Urban Plan, where you literally go into high schools and do kind of like a project, and it's kind of like a mock assignment to develop this fictitious city. And you go through like an RFP process, and there's certain requirements and obviously certain financial constraints that you have to follow with this project. But it's so fascinating that these kids in high school are so brilliant in the way that they think about things. And it's like, okay, if they, you know, really was exposed to this more in depth at an earlier age, then who knows what we can see in the world. And it's so unfortunate that real estate in general, even from the residential side, is not something that is talked about at school. So it's like, we need more programs like this to expose our youth to this. So just tell me a little bit about your experience with Urban Plan, and I guess what some other things that you think can be done to expose more youth to the world of commercial real estate.
Yeah, I love Urban Plan because it really is a mock opportunity to see what it's like to redevelop a block. You hear buy back the block all the time. We're always talking about buy back the block. I think this is this program is an opportunity for you to look at your local city and reimagine what you want it to be, and I mean, the beauty of it, I think, is that they give you constraints, because in real life, it's not like you can just build anything and not think about cost, not think about the various factions in a neighborhood that are going to be impacted. The city government is, of course, involved. And so I think this gives you a nice opportunity to look at not only from the site planning part, but the actual, you know, monetary financial part. Like, everything has to make money at the end of the day. So I've participated in it twice as a facilitator, and it's been great to, you know, really see how these kids think about their community and the idea of having ownership of what gets put in and why did you pick this and not that. And we ask a lot of questions, use a Socratic method to try to get them to think about things a bit more. And what I've enjoyed, I'd say, participating in it, it has, I think, helped to let them realize that none of this happens in a bubble. Like, there's lots of people involved. It takes time. And at the end of the day, you have to be involved in the process to see it the way you would like to see it. I think oftentimes in our communities, we hear, you know, something's going up on the corner or something's emerging. And by the time it's being built, it's been talked about for at least 5 to 7 years somewhere.
Yeah, we weren't a part of that process.
it's not just popping up. Right. And so I think when you understand that, you realize the only way I'm going to be able to, you know, have agency in what happens in my community is if I'm involved in the process in some way. And so my hope with Urban Plan is that it allows students to, you know, start to get early about what it is that they want to do. There's another, I'd say, program that I, or there's a few programs. I'd say the one in terms of the youth that I love the most right now is called Project Destined. And what they do is really helping, I'd say, from high school. And I think I've had Cedric on my podcast. So if you want to listen to that episode, I think even trying to go back to middle school, because middle school is when you start to get kids into identity and having a ownership mindset and having this idea that you too can have access to this and own it. And then at that point, just getting that mindset shift helps to move them through actually learning, you know, the technical pieces of this. So the real estate finance pieces. He does an amazing workshop where he literally, you know, has them doing financial models so that they can understand the fundamentals and the presentation skills behind doing a lot of this. So if you, you know, have young folks, and the beauty of pandemic has been everything is virtual now, so you don't have to physically sit in a city to participate in some of these things. So if you've got any young folks in your life, any young folks who are interested, and sometimes it's not even if they're interested, it really is just saying you should really look at this.
Yeah, like, well, because it's like you're never exposed to it, so you don't know what you don't know.
For sure. I always, I try to encourage people to, so their favorite athlete, right, whoever that is, a lot of them now are getting involved in real estate. A lot of them are, you know, if they're building a charter school, do understand that they are buying the real estate for that charter school. If they are doing anything as it relates to, you know, a product, they are involved in some kind of supply chain, industrial, like everyone is involved. Like, real estate touches way more than I think the physical building that people see. You know, you may need to lease out space if you want a store, right? Mm-hmm. So it's touching a lot of stuff. So when most of these athletes retire, where they invest their money is in real estate. And so why not get a jump on it? Like, why not get a jump on it?
Absolutely. Yes. So are there any other organizations that you're involved in, either you know, for the youth or for minorities or just in commercial real estate in general that you like to, you know, just share what they're doing, some initiatives they're doing for 2021?
Yeah, there's so many organizations. So I'm a board member of two organizations. One is called AREP, African American Real Estate Professionals Los Angeles. So AREP has a few outlets within the US. I think they've got a DC chapter, which you said you're involved with. They've got a Northeast chapter, which is in Boston. I think they also have another chapter, I think in Charlotte or North Carolina somewhere. So if you, you know, have an interest in that organization, it's a really great organization. I'm also a member of an organization called the Association of Black Women Real Estate Investors. It just chartered this year. I'm a chartering member. I'm part of the Southern California chapter for that organization. And essentially, you know, Black women coming together to syndicate their money to invest into real estate. And they have a variety of chapters that are emerging. So if you want to, you know, start a chapter, if there's not one in your local area, you can go to, you know, www.abwrei and, you know, .com, and you can, you know, find an existing chapter or, you know, elect to start your own. In addition to AREP, there's, you know, REIS, Real Estate Executive Committee. It's a great organization for, I'd say, if you are, you know, 7+ years in your career, already in a leadership position, want to be around other leaders to get that peer experience of, you know, not feeling like the only when you have a group of people around you who understand and who can help you to continue to drive your career and for business development opportunities. There's an organization called Shy Acre, which I found out about. And this is more of an unofficial group. This is in Chicago. Chicago African Americans in commercial real estate. FIRE, Filipinos in Institutional Real Estate, that's a national organization. REAL, this one's just starting, Real Estate Association of Latinx Professionals. CRU, of course, everyone knows about, Commercial Real Estate for Women. And there's a bunch of others. I mentioned Project Destined, you're a graduate of Project REAP. If you're someone who you've already started your career and you want to pivot or figure out how to transfer your skills into this industry, I'd say Project REAP is a fantastic organization. And now that they've also gone online and are in partnership with Urban Land Institute to provide resources, I mean, there's stuff out here. I know there's lots of Instagram influencer type people who are selling you courses. I think that's fantastic that these folks are being entrepreneurial. However, I want to encourage people to know that there are organizations that have been established that are doing these certified courses that will not only link you up with other people doing it, but will also give you the runway to see the possibility. So find these organizations that are, you know, I'd say vetted to some degree to be able to start your exploration into this industry, because there's lots of organizations and there's a bunch of buy back the blocks going on right now, which I'm so like excited to see.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, a lot of these organizations also, because like we mentioned, commercial real estate is kind of this world that's in a gray area. It's tough to know how to get in. So if you're a part of these, it kind of gives you that credibility. And, you know, if you're trying to get a job or anything, break into a new firm, it's like, okay, this person took this seriously enough to want to pursue these different designations or pursue getting involved with these organizations. So it's definitely another nice little feather in your cap for your resume. So
for sure.
You have all this stuff going on. So what about as far as your personal real estate investing goals for 2021?
Yeah. So I've become more, I'd say, interested and involved in syndication and most recently probably looking at crowdfunding. I think there's something really powerful, especially being, you know, this being, I say, the week of looking at Kwanzaa, right? Kwanzaa as looking at principles for mm-hmm. how we can uplift our communities and things like that. And so the idea of how can we work together to use what we have? Because we have, I think people always think, you know, come from a place of deficiency or deficit in what we don't have. And I don't subscribe to that. I think of what do you have?
Right.
What are you working?
We have a lot of strengths and we just need to put it together.
That's right. We have a lot of strengths. We have a lot of resources. We have a lot of access. How are you leveraging that? How are you, you know, harnessing it and putting it in a direction and applying it so that you can see, you know, success. So you can see, and also knowing this is a long-term investment. There is nothing quick. Anytime you hear something quick in commercial real estate, be wary.
Yes.
be wary. I mean, this is my, like, you know, caveat emptor of, you know, if you're going to be out here, you know, look for people with results, look for people who have a track record and who understand that this is a long game situation. This is not a quick get rich, like, let's see how much we can do. I mean, there are opportunities that are opportunistic quickly. However, mm-hmm. the amount of research and knowledge you have to know when you see an opportunity and to be able to turn it over still required you to have a certain level of experience. Right. And if you don't have that, don't jump into stuff because it's not, again, it's not a let's see how we can, you know, make this happen quickly. It's a long-term investment and you should treat it as such. So for me, that has been something that's been important lately is how can I, you know, work with other people to be involved in more over time. And then of course I'd say at some point, you know, doing something house hacking is this call now, which I think is so funny. These terms that emerge.
Got you. Okay, cool. So let's just transition to the last segment of the show, which I call the Fabulous Four. And it's just four questions that I ask all the guests. So just, you know, whatever comes to mind, just go for it. So the first question is, what's your favorite book about real estate?
So I'm a mindset person, because I feel like if your mind is right, you can do mm-hmm. anything.
Right.
So the book for me is How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie, which this is an older book, but I think everything he says in there is spot on that you can take to the bank today. If you don't know how to make friends, if you don't know how to influence people, if you don't know how to sell your idea, if you aren't really good at networking or networking feels like work, you need to learn how to make friends quickly, easily, make it something that isn't feeling arduous. And I feel like that book gives you some just fundamentals on how to do that.
Yeah, that book is definitely timeless. It's up there with like the Think and Grow Riches of the world, as far as like the message will always stand the test of time. So whenever you read it, it's a good, definitely a good read. So cool. Great suggestion. All right. Second question is, what advice would you give to your younger self first getting started with your career?
Yeah. Keep showing up as yourself and being confident in who you are and what you have to offer. And don't be afraid to ask for help and just ask for what you need. Nobody knows what you're going through if you don't tell them. So ask for what you need.
Okay, cool. Third question is, what topic in real estate do you want to learn about personally?
Oh, there's so much. So I'm like such a tech person. I love technology. Like if I can find an app to do something for me, I'm like all about it. So like learning about tech and whether it's fintech or prop tech, I think how to create something in technology to make this industry a bit more modern. So this is also an opportunity, hint, hint, wink, mm-hmm. wink. If you're a tech person and you know how to build an app, you know how to, you know, program something, take a look at this industry because there is a lot of opportunity to advance it and to make it more streamlined. And so for me, I've been thinking a lot more about, okay, since I've worked here, what are the things that I would like to see work better, and how could that be potentially put together in a technical app? And I have no idea how to do that, but that's, I think, what I'm interested in learning next. Like, how do you do that?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of opportunity. I feel like in the residential real estate space, there's been a lot of strides made and obviously a lot of different technological advances, but commercial real estate is still very ripe for innovation and progressiveness. So somebody out there that, you know, has that tech savvy skill set, there's definitely opportunity for you in this field.
Totally.
Cool. So last question is, please give a shout out to another woman that's doing some great things in real estate.
Oh, this is hard. This is hard because I know a lot of great women. And then I like picking children. Like, I mean, I'd say, gosh. So the woman that comes to mind that I just, and I've met her through my podcast, is Colette English Dixon. And I think the reason she just has such a, her spirit is just like, let's get this done. She's very straight shooter, you know, and very much driven to, you know, find a problem, fix it, you know, be involved. And I think myself, I resonate with that so much about like, what can we be doing? I'm an action-based person. Like, we can talk about the problem, but what are we doing to fix the problem? What right. are the things that we're putting in place? And so for that, I think she is an embodiment of that. She's in Chicago, and she's just fantastic. So if you also are, she works at the Roosevelt University Executive Director of their real estate school. So if you are in the Chicagoland area and you have not met, heard of, know of her, she is gold.
Okay. Shout out to her. That was yes. an awesome choice. So lastly, how can people get in touch with you? And then also, how do you listen to your podcast, and you know, how often does it come out?
Sure. Full Circle with Garland comes out every Wednesday. It is on, you know, Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio. You can go to garlandfuller.com to basically find all of those outlets and to connect with me. I'm both on Instagram at Full Circle with Garland, and I'm also a big fan of LinkedIn. So if you're a LinkedIn lady and you love to connect, please find me on LinkedIn at my name, Garland Fuller. And if you would like to, I'm starting to think about, you know, how I can help people get into this. And so every now and then, I think I'll, you know, put out opportunities to do career consultations, like 15 minutes. Because I feel like when you realize what's available, you're just yeah. going to be like, I need to be involved. Like, how can I be involved? Look on my garlandfuller.com, you know, there'll be a link at some points where I'll say, you know, connect, let's connect. Because I do want to help women to position themselves to get into this industry, because I think there's so much opportunity, and we can do it.
Yes. And I also want to give a quick shout out, because me and you both participated on a panel on Clubhouse last week, which is awesome. That was the first kind of just geared to women in real estate room. So shout out to Kalani Blackwell and Brittany Rose for putting it together. And I think it's going to be like a reoccurring session, just geared for women in real estate to talk about any and everything. So I think it's going to be a fabulous opportunity. I'm excited to see what's to come with that. So hopefully we'll both be able to continue to participate in that.
Same here. That platform has surprised me, pleasantly surprised me. And yeah, I am here for all of it. There's some fantastic people who are doing great work. And yeah, shout out to Kalani and Brittany, because I feel like we need spaces like that in order to continue to emerge strong.
For sure. All right. Any last words of wisdom for the listeners?
Just keep doing it. Like showing up, being yourself, and knowing you have what you need to get you there.
Cool. All right, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Pretty Girls Love Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Washington. Thank you again to my guest, Garland Fuller. This was awesome. This is an amazing conversation. I learned a lot, and hopefully you also got inspired and got some actionable steps and organizations to look up if you're interested in jumping into the world of commercial real estate. So thank you again, Garland. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, guys, we'll see you on the next one.